This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Islam put proactive measures, I call them proactive measures, preventive measures, to offer to improve the financial system. And then Islam put preventive measures, proactive measures and then preventive measures, and prohibited certain transactions, certain financial activities, in order to stop speculation, in order to stop increase of debts, in order to stop manipulating the money in the hands of a few people, so the rich people will get richer and the poor people will get poorer. Once Islam put all of these measures, then, and once we observe all of these measures, we can see how Islam provide solutions for our financial problems and for the financial crisis that we went through. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. This topic, which is Islam is a solution for the financial problems, is a very important topic. It can be a complicated topic. It can be simplified. I'll try to give it in a way that is simple. However, it doesn't mean that it is shallow. I will give it in a way that is deep, but inshallah it will be understood by everyone, because it can be a little bit technical, and once it becomes technical, it becomes really difficult to grasp. Islam and finance, or Islam is a solution for our financial problems. To understand, first of all, how Islam approach finance in general, economy in general, we have to understand certain principles. And those principles are really very important to be understood. The first principle is Islam is a way of life. And that way of life is given by the Creator, who knows everything. This way of life has been given to us by the Creator. And the Creator, who created us, is the best one to tell us what this creation, who are we, can function properly. As we say that the manufacturer of a car is the best one to explain how this car can run, how can this car can function properly, and we cannot change that. The Creator, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى, the Creator, the Supreme, the Lord, the Highest, Allah جل وعلا, is the best one to tell us, the creation, how to function properly and how to run things. I always give this example which might be funny for some people, but I believe that it is a deep example. If you bring a car, Mercedes or whatever, yeah, and it runs by diesel, and you said that, no, because of modernity, or because of whatever reason, I want to put petrol in it. Will it run? If it runs maybe for a few miles, then it will, okay, be written off. Yeah, the machine, the engine will be damaged. Is that true or not? Why? What is the reason? We did not follow the instructions of the manufacturer. The manufacturer said, use diesel. We have to use diesel. We cannot assume that the manufacturer wanted this without him saying so. Similarly, when we talk about Islam, we say that Allah, the Creator, He gave us the instructions how to run, how to operate as human beings. And we have to follow that. Allah said in the Quran, أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. The one who created doesn't know his creation. It means he knows. وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. He is all acquainted. جَلَّ وَعَلَى. So, this is the first principle that we need to remember once we talk about Islamic finance. Some people will say, what do you mean? We will see how this makes a difference. The other main point is life from an Islamic perspective is divided into two parts. One part before death, and the other part is after death. Life before death is a test. Life before death is a test. That's all. It is not meant by itself. Allah created us to live in this life in order to test us. Allah Jalla wa Ala says in the Quran, خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ. Created life and death, or created death and life in order to test you. So that's the whole concept of this life. So the real success, as Allah Jalla wa Ala says in the other ayah, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَاتْ. The one who kept away from the fire of hell and admitted to paradise, he is really successful. So when Islam deals with anything, when Allah sends instructions for anything, Allah is looking after both lives. This life, and most importantly, the second life. What does that mean in Islamic finance? In Islamic finance, it means that you do not look at the welfare system only now, as it is in this life. You need to look at this, and you need to put into consideration what may happen to you after life. This is a very important principle. The second thing is, life is not just about luxury. Life is not just about luxury. So the purpose of the financial system in Islam is not only luxury. Luxury can be part of it. It is not the ultimate aim. While in the non-divine system, the ultimate aim of life is what? The ultimate aim of life and the ultimate aim of wealth is what? To enjoy it. Yeah? People look for better jobs in order to what? To have better salaries. In order to what? To spend holidays, to travel here and there, to have a better lifestyle, to buy whatever they want, and so on, to drive a luxurious car, and so on. But from an Islamic perspective, this is not the ultimate aim. What does that mean? What does that lead to? It leads to the fact that the aim of the person should not be money, 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 wealth, wealth, wealth. What does that mean? It means that Islam deals with the main problem that led to the recent credit crunch, credit crunch and recession, economical recession, which is what? Greed. all those who spoke about the recent credit crunch, they said that the main reason behind this is an ethical reason in the first place, which is what? Greed. You know greed? Yeah? How? Because the managers of those banks and financial institutions, they, in order to get high commissions for themselves, they allowed people to have these mortgages. Yeah, you know mortgages? Mortgages to buy houses through banks, which is a riba-based system. Yeah? So they allowed them to have it without checking, without going through the proper procedure. So as a result of this, people, out of greed, again, they were buying so many properties, and the debt was increasing. And then when the debt of the people themselves was increasing, after some time, they could not afford to pay their debts. And they went to the banks in order to what? In order to get money. But now banks themselves do not have cash. Other projects, they went to banks in order to get finance to finance their projects. Banks do not have money. The banks went to the people who bought those properties. The people were unable to pay their debts. The credit crunch started to happen, and then the whole financial market collapsed. Okay? Now, the main reason is an ethical reason. Of course, they say that the financial service authorities, they were not applying the proper checks and balances, yeah, in order to make sure that lending is proportional, yeah, to the other financial activities, and as a result of this, this credit crunch took place. That is true, but that is part of the story. Everyone agrees that greed was the main problem. How to deal with greed? This is a big question. If greed led to this crisis, financial crisis, then we need a system to deal with greed. Islam comes and says, listen, life is not only about collecting money. Life is not only about how much you spend, how much you, how luxury you live. Islam is not about this. There is another life which is more important than this life. In fact, there you will live the real luxury life. You will enjoy your life. And here, in this life, just take the minimum that helps you to function as a slave of Allah in order to propagate Islam and in order to finance other people. So money is what? Is not, or wealth is not an aim by itself. Wealth is what? Is a mean. To attain what? To attain another purpose, a high purpose. What is that purpose? The pleasure of Allah. And this is another fundamental difference between the Islamic financial system and the non-divine financial system, or the non-Islamic financial system, which is what? Money or wealth, from an Islamic perspective, is just a mean to attain something. While in the non-divine system, it is what? It is itself is the purpose. Itself is a goal. As we said, the financial crunch happened because of a number of reasons. One of them is greed. And you need an ethical system, a strong, powerful ethical system to deal with greed. And Islam comes to solve this problem. This is one thing. Moreover, once we understand that Islam is dividing this life into two types, into two parts. One part before death, and the other part is after death. And Islam says, the more charitable activities you do, the more you will be rewarded in the life after death. Yes? The more charitable activities you do in this life, the more wealth you will get. How come? The more you spend for charitable purposes, the more you will get in return. Not only in this life, but in the hereafter. Or not only in life after death, but here, now. How come? Islam says, as the Prophet ﷺ said, مَا نَقَصَ مَالٌ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ. Yeah, a charity does not decrease wealth. In the other hadith, in fact, a charity increases wealth. How can a charity where you spend increases your wealth? Islam says that if you do it for a noble purpose, to please Allah, you will get a reward in the hereafter. Moreover, Allah will put blessings, barakah, in your wealth, and your wealth will increase. Maybe the wealth will not increase in quantity, but wealth will increase in what? Equality. That's why Allah Jalla wa Ala says in the Quran, other than this hadith, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبُوا فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً. Had the people of the towns believed in Allah, Allah would have given them from the earth and from the heavens without any limit, unlimited rizq, unlimited provisions. But they disbelieved, and as a result of this, we have took them all of a sudden. So, in order to be a charitable person, you have to believe in the hereafter and the reward in the hereafter. This is one thing. The other thing, a charity is a very important foundation of any financial system. In fact, one of the main reasons for the collapse of the non-divine financial system, which is the capital system in this world, is what? Lack of charitable activities or limited charitable activities. Yes? Is it clear? Why a charity is one of the foundations of Islamic finance? Why and how? If we go and read Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, which is the longest chapter in the Quran, from verse 261 to verse 274, you will see that Allah described the financial system, the Islamic financial system. And in the beginning, Allah Jalla wa Ala spoke about giving, a charity. Giving, yes? And after that, Allah Jalla wa Ala spoke about the prohibition of riba. So Allah gave us a proactive solution, yeah, or a preventive measure before talking about, yeah, the prohibition of riba. Allah Jalla wa Ala spoke in almost 13 ayah about the importance of giving a charity. مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة مئة حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء. Then Allah جل وعلا says, الذين ينفقون أموالهم بالليل والنهار سرا وعلانية لهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. Allah جل وعلا also says, الشيطان يعدكم الفقر ويأمركم بالفحشاء والله يعدكم مغفرة منه وفضلا. All these ayat that talk about that encourages spending. In the last ayah that we have read, Allah Jalla wa Ala says, the shaytan promises you poverty, but Allah promises you what? Increase. And fadl, and maghfira, and forgiveness. In order for you to be encouraged to spend a charity, for charity purposes. And one of the foundations of the Islamic financial system, as we said, is to spend for a charity. Now, some people say, why? And charity, does charity mean spending the change money in your pocket? You have just a few pounds or a few crowns you just give them to the poor people. No. A charity from an Islamic perspective is a whole system. It includes the change that you give to poor people. It includes hosting the guest. Hosting your guest, yeah, is part of the charity system, is part of the financial system in Islam. Is this clear? Yes, no?
Yeah.
For example, one time I was traveling somewhere in London, just last week in Britain, and in the middle of nowhere it was raining heavily, it was very cold. I said to myself, I was questioning myself, if the car broke down here, yeah, there is no hotel, can we knock on any door and say to the people, we have no shelter, you need to host us? Yes? Can we say this to people? Because if our car broke down, no one to fix it, we need somewhere to stay. We need to maybe eat or drink some hot drink. Yeah? We need shelter because of rain. This is what a financial activity. Because if there is a hotel, we will go and spend money in order to receive this service. Agree or not? So this is a financial activity. This is part of the human being activities. Part of economy, you can say. Now, this, which is a financial activity, Islam says, if you need it, you can get it for free. How can? It is obligatory from an Islamic perspective to host your guest who is in need for shelter and food for at least 3 days. There are some difference of opinions. Let us not get into it. But it is obligatory to host him or her for some time. Do you imagine this? Now this is part of the Islamic financial system. Not many people are focusing on this point. So hosting a guest is part of the financial Islamic system. Part of the Islamic financial system, which is part of the charitable system in Islam, is to build trusts or awqaf, endowments. You know waqf, trusts, endowments? Yes? What do you call it in Norwegian?
Foundation.
No, waqf is more than foundation. Waqf. Waqf, trust. Just a building. Waqf. What does it mean in Norwegian? Waqf is like a state, real estate. You know what does real estate mean?
Yes.
Real estate, property. You say, this is for Allah. Yeah?
Oh, remark it.
Gratis.
I don't know. Okay, anyway, you say that this is for Allah. So poor people can use it. The income. Yes, the income, you can rent it. And the income will go to poor people. Or, not necessarily to poor people, to fund certain projects. In London, in England, we have a lot of this by non-Muslims. And I have read a book about the history of endowment or trusts, yeah, in England, the history of that. They have taken it from the Middle East during the time of Crusades. They have taken it from the Muslim world during that time of Crusades. London Bridge. Do you know London Bridge in London? Yeah? The maintenance of this is coming from trusts to fund the bridge. It's not the government. Maybe the government is paying something. But mainly, some people have fixed assets, yeah, as a trusts to fund the maintenance of London Bridge. In Islamic history, awqaf, or trusts, or endowments, played a major role in funding so many Islamic projects. Most of the educational system in many Islamic periods, in the Umayyad period, Abbasi period, Uthmani period, they were funded by awqaf. So a person builds a school or an institution, and he builds next to it awqaf, these buildings, a trust, to fund the school, the educational system. What does that mean? It means that the economical burden on the state will be what? Lifted. Because now there are supplements to what? Help the state in financing educational system, health system, and so on. So there will be no burden, no huge burden on what? On the state. Unfortunately, in the capital system, because it is non-divine system, the whole burden is on what? On the state to fund everything. Yeah. Now, in the UK, they have taken part of this, and there are many projects funded by the awqaf system. They have taken this from the Middle East during the time of Crusade, which is something good, which is a proof that Islam can provide a solution for what? For the financial crisis. Imagine if there are more institutions funded by the awqaf system. Yeah? This system, then there will be no huge burden on what? On the government. Okay, so this is a charitable activity. Part of the charitable activity is mentioned in, again in Surah Al-Baqarah. When Allah Jalla wa Ala said, فَإِنْ كَانَ ذُو عُسْرَةٍ فَنَظِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٍ وَأَنْ تَصَدَّقُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Okay? When you lend someone money and he is unable to pay on time, this is a crucial problem, a big problem in any financial system. Yeah, are you aware of this problem? Default payments. What does default payments mean? Yeah, you bought a house or any property in installments. Is it clear? Yeah, to buy anything in an installment. Sisters, is it clear? Now you have to pay every month. What about at one point, in 1 month, you could not pay? What will happen? This is a huge problem. Yeah, in the financial system, in any financial system, because they are trying to find solutions. The credit crunch, one of the main reasons for the credit crunch is this. The recent credit crunch that started in 2008. How? People were buying properties by installment system, this mortgage system. At one point, because of greed, they were unable to pay for their properties. Now, the mortgage system, how it works, if you default, is called default payment. If you default one time, two times, three times, what do? Do you know anyone who works in this field? Yes?
They seize the thing.
Okay? They what?
To pay back all the money, the whole loan, the whole mortgage.
They take the property. They take the property and they put it in the market. They kick you out. Yes? And they take the property, they put it in the market. Yes? They repossessed the property, reposition. So, if a person genuinely can't pay, what will happen? 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, they take the property, they kick him out. There were many people in America, professionals, who lived in shelters. And once they could not afford to pay those shelters, they lived in the caravans. Some wealthy people or professional people because of this problem. And when they put it in the market, those properties in the market, because of the credit crunch, no one was able to buy them, so the market collapsed more and more. Okay? So, one solution for this problem, which is default payment. Remember, default payment is if the person genuinely is unable to pay on time, Allah Jalla wa Ala says, فَنَظِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٌ. Give him a leeway. Give him some time. This is what? Part of charitable activities. Is it clear? So how come I am giving him a leeway in a financial activity, in a business transaction, and you consider it as sadaqah? This is a very important principle in Islam. There is no differentiation between financial activities, yeah, and being charitable for higher purpose. Yeah? So, part of your sadaqah, part of your sadaqah is if a person is unable to pay the debt on time, give him a leeway. Not only this, Allah Jalla wa Ala says, وَأَنْتَ صَدَّقُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. If you say to him, you are unable to pay the debt on time, genuinely, I'll give you a leeway. He said, I can't pay at all. Allah Jalla wa Ala said, forgive him. Forgive him. Forgive him. This is a sadaqah. This is a charitable activity. Just like this, he will go away. Yes, he will go away. If you believe in the hereafter, you will get more than what you have given him in the dunya and in the akhirah, in this life and hereafter. This is part of the Islamic financial system that is not mentioned when we talk about Islamic finance. All what we talk about in Islamic finance is what? Prohibition of riba. Yeah? But this kind of a charity, and the role of a charity in the Islamic financial system in its full capacity is not mentioned at all. And this is wrong. That's why we say, those Islamic banks, if they really want to be real Islamic banks, they should include charitable activities within their functions. I'll take some questions, inshallah. Yeah? Let me repeat this point. Those Islamic banks, if they really want to call themselves Islamic banks, they have to include some charitable activities within their functions and their operations. Because it is part of Islamic financial system. Okay, so this is a charity and how a charity can help in solving the financial problems that we are facing. I hope that is clear. Then, after all these measures, which I call them normally in my lectures, and if we have a presentation, I call them preventive measures. What is it? Preventive measures. Then we come to the technicalities of Islamic finance. Okay? Now when we come to technicalities of Islamic finance from a technical perspective, it prohibits gambling, speculation, it prohibits cheating, it prohibits doubtful or uncertainty, and it prohibits riba. It prohibits gambling, speculation, and all of those related activities. It prohibits what? What did we say? What other things? No, before riba. Gambling, speculation, cheating, uncertainty, yeah, and riba. Apart from those prohibitions, Islamic allows any financial activity. Is it clear? Yeah? Now, if you look at gambling, It is a very unethical activity. Gambling. Gambling, don't just limit gambling to lottery. Yeah? Lottery. No, gambling is wider than this. For example, stock market can be a gambling market at one point. You know stock market?
Yes.
Where you buy and sell shares? Those activities can be of a gambling nature. How? You buy in order to what? To sell when the prices go up based on speculation. This is exactly gambling. Yeah? You buy because you heard certain rumors about this what? This company. And you buy because the price of the stock went down, and you are expecting that those rumors will be what? Will be cleared. So once those rumors are cleared, the prices of the stock or the price of this stock will increase. Then you will sell. This is very close to gambling. Without getting into the technicality, whether it is allowed or not allowed, but this is one of the main problems of the credit crunch. So this is gambling. The uncertainty. It is a very unethical activity. You buy something, you are not quite sure whether you are paying money for something that you will get. You might get it, you might not get it. You might be cheated out of this. Okay? This will create hatred, and this will create some societal problems, some social problems, let alone that those who are smart, they can what be richer, and those who are not smart enough and they don't know the tricks of the market, they will get poorer. So the rich will get richer and the poor will get poorer. Okay? This is another foundation of the Islamic financial system. So we mentioned gambling, we mentioned uncertainty. What else we mentioned?
Doubting.
Cheating. Huh? Uncertainty is doubting. Cheating. Cheating is clear. No need to mention about it. Let me go to riba. 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 The philosophy of riba is buying and selling money. So you consider money as what? As a commodity to be what? To be bought and sold. Yes? While money, the main function of money is what? To use it to buy and sell. Is it clear? So you cannot use money which meant to buy and sell as a commodity that can be bought and sold. Yes? This is the main philosophy. Now, what is equal to money, staple food, is also equal to money. We'll not talk about this because we like to make it as simple as possible. In another word, exchanging money for more money or for less money without a real property, without a real commodity in between, yeah? This means that you are buying or selling money. Is it clear? Buying and selling money. How? You are buying and selling money for money. So you are using money for other than its main purpose, which is what? To buy and sell commodities. This is the main philosophy. Now, this, let us put that in mind. Islam prohibited this. Now, once we think about this, what led to increase in debts, yeah? In debts, is one principle called selling debts. Yeah? Selling debts. You know what does selling debts mean? Yeah? It takes so many names. If I have a debt, or if someone owe me money, I want some money from someone. Yeah? I lent you 1,000 kron. So this is a debt. I am unable to get it from you. So I will go to another financial institution and I will say to the other financial institution, I want from X person 1,000 kron. You can now buy it from me and you can ask him for money. Yeah? And I will take from you 800 krons. So give me 800 kron in cash. Give me 800 kron in cash and the debt is yours. So you can go to that person and ask him for 1,000 kron. Is it clear? This is selling debt. This is totally prohibited in Islam. Okay? Now, why Islam prohibited these activities where money is a commodity to be bought and sold? One of the main reasons, brothers, ancestors, yeah, for the credit crunch, for the financial problem or problems that we are suffering from in the world, in the whole world, is something called money creation. Have you heard of money creation? Have anyone heard of money creation? No? Money creation? Just one person? Money creation. Money creation is one of the worst problems and one of the main reasons for all the financial problems that we go through. Islam prohibited all loopholes in any financial system that may lead to money creation. One of them is selling debts. Another one is using money as a commodity that you buy and sell. Okay? How money creation works? Can you be ready for that? How money creation works? In order to be ready, in order to be active, I ask everyone to take a deep breath. Yeah? Don't release it. Just take it. Hold it until you are about to die. And just before you die, breathe. Okay? Shall we do this? Yeah? Sisters, shall we do this? Don't worry, if you die, your qadr. All of us will die. At one point, all of us will die. So, is that true or not? Yeah. So if you die, if you die, alhamdulillah, now many people will say, oh, may Allah forgive him or may Allah forgive her. That is better than to die and no one will say, oh, Allah, forgive him or forgive her. Yeah? So let us start. So we say 1, 2, and then 3. We take a deep breath. Yeah? No cheating. We said that cheating is against Islamic finance. Yeah? Okay. Bismillah. 1, 2, 3. We repeat it one more time. Yeah? No laughing. So we will hold it. Okay? 1, 2, 3. No cheating. Who is still holding it? Oh, mashallah. Mashallah. You have big lungs, huh? Come on. Now is 1 minute. Mashallah. Are you serious? Are you still? Come on.
A little bit later.
Huh? No, it's now 1 minute, 20 seconds. 1 minute, 20 seconds, mashallah. And this is a record. Okay. If you feel sleepy, you know your toes. Huh? Toes, you know toes? The fingers of your, of your feet. Yeah, just what you call move them. Yeah, hold them and release them. Yeah, try to do this. This will make you awake. You know this, huh? No, it's true. How? You know why? You know why? Because you are forcing the blood to circulate. Because you are moving the last part of your body, which is your toes. So then the body, the blood has to circulate throughout the whole body. Yeah? So you do that exercise, inshallah. Okay, anyway, we are about to finish now. Okay. 5 more minutes. So anyway, we were saying that money creation is one of the biggest problems of the current financial system. What does money creation mean? By the way, if you go to YouTube, and put money creation, you will find very good clips that talk about money creation. They will explain it in a way better than I will do. Okay, in a very simple way, money creation, how it functions, how it works, and why Islam stopped that. In the past, they used to par exchange. You know par exchange? Yeah? Because at that time, they did not have paper money. So, for example, I give you a goat or some meat, you give me some food. Yeah? Part exchange. Then they started to use gold and silver. I give you 100 grams of gold, you give me what? A goat or a sheep, something like this. After some time, they said, instead of me carrying gold, it might be get stolen, so let me keep it with a person called goldsmith. Yeah, the keepers of gold. Are you following this, sisters? Yeah? Let me keep the gold with goldsmith. And the goldsmith will issue a receipt that he owes me 100 grams of gold or 1 kg of gold. And he said, this receipt, you give it to me anytime, I will give you what? I will give you what? Your gold. Is it clear? After some time, the goldsmiths had formed a gang. And they said to themselves, let us agree that if this goldsmith issued a receipt for 1 kg, and this receipt was given to another goldsmith, the other goldsmith will give this person 1 kg. Yes? So we recognize the receipts, and people can exchange the receipts. So if I have the receipt of 1 kg from A, goldsmith, I can take that receipt and go to B, okay? And I say, here is a receipt that I have taken it from what? From A. He has 1 kg, and that 1 kg is mine. Take this receipt, he will what? This goldsmith will give me my 1 kg of gold. Is it clear? Okay. After some time, these goldsmiths developed a very evil idea. Very evil idea. They said that let us borrow people, let us lend people money. And instead of lending them physical gold, let us lend them what? Receipts. So, if you want money, I am a goldsmith, you want money from me, I will say to you, here is your 1 kg of gold. I'm lending it to you. And instead of giving it to you physically, this is a receipt. Yeah? This is a receipt of this gold. If you want this gold, come to me or come to any goldsmith, he will give you 1 kg. This is what? Just lending him. So I did not lend him what? I did not lend him what? Gold, physical gold. What did I lend him? A receipt. Clear? Yes. Then they said, if I lend this person a receipt of 1 kg and I told him this is your kg, and this person I lend him 2 kg and I told him these are your 2 kg of gold, and another person, okay, 3 kg, these are your 3 kg of gold. Whenever you want them, just take them. Yes? We have, the goldsmiths said, according to our studies, not all of them will come and ask for their gold. At one point. This will not come and ask for his 1 kg. This will not come and ask for his 2 kg. This will not come and ask for his 3 kg at the same time. Are you following this? Yeah? Okay. In another word, if I said, yeah, listen, you want 1 kg from me, this is your 1 kg. You want 3 kg from me, this is 1 kg, and this is another kg, and this is a 3rd kg. So one of them is his. Yeah? And as a goldsmith, I have 3 kg. So I lent him 1. Yeah? I lent the other person 3. And this one, he said he wants 2. I said, this is 1, and this is the 2nd one. The same that I have already promised, what? The other person. So I have 3 physical kg of gold. How much I lent? 7. How much I lent?
6.
3, 2, and 1, 6. Are you following this? Sisters, are you following this? Yes? Okay. So how much I lent out of the 3 kg that I have? 6. And I am confident that not all of them will ask for their gold. If this person came and he said, give me the 1 kg, I will say, take. This is 1 kg. Yeah? And the other people will not come and at the same time ask for their gold. Agree? So in reality, I have created 3 kg out of what? Yeah? Out of 3 kg. Did you get this? So now people have to give me how many kg? How many kg of gold? No, 6. Yeah, 6 kg. Because this is 1, 2, and 3. So they have to return to me what? 6. In reality, how much I have? 3. So I have created 3 out of 3. I will get the 3, mine, and I have created 3 more. Is it clear? This is money creation. In a very simple way. This is a very evil idea. Okay? Now, the credit crunch. How can the credit crunch take place? How does it take place? When this one and this one and this one, all of them come at the same time and say to me, as a goldsmith or as a bank, give me my kg, my gold. So I have to give him one. I have to give the other two. I have give to the other three. But I have three only. What will happen? I will collapse. Is it clear? This is called... This is called money creation. Islam prohibited this and put certain measures to stop this. Islam said, if you want to borrow money, you have to take it in your hand, not as a receipt. When you deal with money, in exchange of money, whether you want to borrow it, whether you want to exchange dollars for pounds, any kind of exchange between money for money, it has to be what? Physical. So if this person said, I want to borrow 1 kg of gold, I cannot give him a receipt. I have to give it to him what? Physically. This person said, I want 2 kg of gold. I have to give it to him what? Physically. This person came and said, I want 3 kg of gold. What will happen? I don't have. So either I have it and give it to him, or I don't have it and I will not what? Give it to him. Is it clear? Yeah? And this is one of the main reasons for credit crunch, and this is one of the measures that Islam put in place in order to stop what? Manipulating the system and causing credit crunch or financial recessions. Of course, there is more to be said about this, but because of time, and I promise you that I have to stop at this point, let me just summarize quickly what I have said. Islam put proactive measures, I call them proactive measures, preventive measures, to offer to improve the financial system. And then Islam put proactive measures and then preventive measures, and prohibited certain transactions, certain financial activities, in order to stop speculation, in order to stop increase of debts, yeah, in order to stop manipulating the money in the hands of a few people, so the rich people will get richer and the poor people will get poorer. Once Islam put all of these measures, then, and once we observe all of these measures, we can see how Islam provide solutions for our financial problems and for the financial crisis that we went through. Of course, the topic has more to be said about these points, but I hope that I have just given a glimpse, as they say, of the Islamic financial system and the way it may contribute, or it can contribute, in solving our financial problems. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Is the tax system part of the Islamic finance?
Is the taxation system or tax system part of what? Islamic financial system. Okay. From an Islamic perspective, we should avoid putting tax on people. Yeah? In fact, many scholars condemned putting tax on people. Yeah? And they call it mukus in Islam. And many scholars consider it as totally prohibited. Some other scholars allowed it when there is a genuine need and the government fails to meet its financial obligations. Then they put taxes in a very fair way. Some other scholars said, if the government is unable to meet its financial needs or obligations, it means that there is a problem in the way it conducts itself. Because Allah, the Creator, has provided people with what is enough for them, had they followed His instructions. So if they do not follow His guidance, then they will have these financial problems. And the government, before it imposes tax on people, it has to revisit the way it functions and operates in many fields. And once they follow the guidelines of Allah Jalla wa Ala, they will see that Allah will provide them and they don't need to impose tax on people.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. We have one more question here.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sheikh, I have a question regarding riba. First of all, I was wondering what is the purpose that we cannot involve in riba, especially when you buy one house. And then to the next question, which is, we have other kind of Islamic banking financial solutions like Musharaka and these things. And doesn't the client get the same problems in this kind of finance as he would if he had a riba based loan?
Yeah. Okay. Now, why can't we be involved in riba? Yeah. See. I hope that I have the diagram. You know, they said that the more you put riba, yeah, in the system, the more inflation will increase. And this is a very strong theory that has been proven by many economists. They said, okay, that if you borrow £100 or krone and you want to pay it as 120 krones, where does this 20 krones, where do they come from? Yeah? They have to come from somewhere. Agree? So where do these 20 krones come from? If you say, what will happen normally, what will happen? You will say that these 20 krones, I will work or I will invest this 100 krone that I have borrowed from this bank, I will invest them and then they will, what? They will increase, so I will pay the bank 120 krones. So I will create the 220 krones. Okay, this is what people will say. But when the person borrows the 100 krone in order to invest it, let us say that he invested in properties. The prices of the properties will increase because the banks have put up the interest rate. Yeah? Put it up. So the money that I have taken, which is the 120 krones, in fact, they came from the banks themselves. So when I return the 120 krones to the bank, in fact, I have not generated 20 krones. I have not generated that. But it is the inflation rate or the increase of the prices. So the more I borrow from the banks, the more I help the inflation to increase. Yes? So in fact, I did not generate 20 krones. In fact, those 20 krones, I have paid them in another way, which is through the inflation system. I hope that it is clear. Okay, I'm sure that it is not clear for many people. I hope if I have that diagram to explain the circle. In a nutshell, the money does not generate money. Yeah? The 100 crowns that I have taken, I have to return them as 120 crowns. Where does this amount, the 20 crowns, where do they come from? Yes? Is it clear? So it has to come from somewhere. And it is money. Money cannot be generated by money. Money can be generated by some other activities in isolation from the financial system. So if they came within the financial system, means the financial system has taken them from me in order to give them to me, in a nutshell. So this is about the riba. The other point, about Islamic finance, and we see the same problems that exist within the conventional market. See, if we apply Islamic finance correctly, we will not see those problems that we see in the conventional system. For example, you mentioned Musharaka. The mortgage system, I don't know if you have a mortgage system to buy properties here. Do you have it in Norway? The mortgage system, how it works, you go to the bank in order to buy this property. Yeah? This property, cash, is 1,000, let us say 100,000 crowns. Yes? You go to the bank. The bank will pay to the landlord 100,000 crowns and will take from you 120,000 crowns. Yes? So you will pay the bank 120,000 crowns over 20 years. That is the system, yes? Yeah? In the middle, if you fail, what will happen? The bank will repossess the property and will kick you out, as we said. Yes? Now, in the perfect Islamic model, which is applied by Ansar Finance, what does it say? It says that this is Ansar Finance, which is not a bank. Ansar Finance says to you, okay, this is worth 100,000 kron. Ansar Finance will contribute 80%, and you need to contribute 20%. And then this property will be owned as a joint ownership by Ansar Finance, the bank, and you. So you will what? Own it. You will own 20%, and Ansar Finance owns what? 80%. Then you can increase your ownership. By buying from Ansar Finance. You might buy, and then you increase your ownership. 20%, 30%, 40%, 50%, 60%. Imagine you own 60% of the property. Then you lost your job. Okay? You lost your job. You can't pay anymore. Ansar Finance will not repossess the property because it is not theirs only. It is a joint ownership between them and you. Is it clear? And you need to pay rent of what? Of 40%. Not the whole amount. Which is what? A very reduced rate. Yeah? And the ownership will continue, okay, as a joint ownership between you and Ansar Finance. Yeah? And you will be paying rent of 40% only. That is a fantastic solution. And they will never repossess the property. Okay? Now, you might say, what about if I can't pay a rent of 40%? We say that we are not functioning in a perfect Islamic financial system. Had we been functioning in a perfect Islamic financial system, Ansar Finance had to have some charitable funds in order to pay for you if you can't what? If you can't afford your rent. But that we are not operating in a perfect financial system. That's why they don't do this. I hope that it was clear.
Okay, thank you very much for your lecture. I work as a scholar of Islam of the Middle East, and I'm following very closely what's happening in Egypt. And I would like your Islamic perspective on two issues of what is going on in Egypt. The first thing is that Morsi from the Ikhwan is trying to get a loan from the IMF. What do you think about this? And the second thing is, some have proposed in Egypt to have a minimum wage and a maximum wage, that people should not make less money than a certain sum, but neither make more money than a certain sum, that you put a limit on wages both down and up. And what do you think about this according to Islam?
Okay, these are two long questions. First of all, the first point, Morsi, there were two parties within the Egyptian government. Yeah, some people, they refused the loan from IMF. And they put pressure on Morsi not to accept it. And some other people, they pushed for it. And as you know, that the Egyptian government now is not free from the followers of the ex-regime. So they put pressure on him, and I don't know the details, and he has to accept it, or he had to accept it. I don't know the details. Now, IMF. Yeah, you know IMF, International Monetary Fund. Yeah? Yeah. In 2006, there was a report that says there is no country in the world that has taken the loan of IMF and was able to pay it, except they doubt one country, which is what? Saudi Arabia and the Gulf War, during the Gulf War. Otherwise, no country was able to pay off the debt. This is a report from institution that provided this. Can you see this? Yeah? And that's why the party that was against taking the loan, yeah, they said, look, this is a slavery. This is a slavery. We will be living in debts forever. Yeah? And you know, for example, Brazil, I don't recall the exact figures now. Brazil, they said that if they continue, I think for 20 years or so, they will be able just to pay the end. They will be just about to pay the interest, not the original law. Yes? Do you follow this?
No.
JDP?
Yeah, JDP.
JDP, yeah. Yeah? If that reaches a level, a very good level, they will continue on that level with the surplus for, I think, 20 years to pay what? Only the interest. And then they need to think about what? The actual loan. Yeah? So that's why it is really a slavery. The other point, they said in that report as well, I have the details in my computer, they said that all undeveloped countries that took the IMF loans, they failed in development. It was not reported at all that those loans helped those countries to improve their financial situation. They could not, for whatever reason. So that's why these debts, as many people say, it is not conspiracy, these are just a matter to enslave colonize countries by what? by through finance. The other part of the, maybe your question can be answered later. Okay. Yeah.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh, for the question. I will ask everyone to please be seated for only 5 more minutes when we continue, because I have some very important things to say, inshallah.
And the announcement for tomorrow.
Yes, that's one of the important things, Sheikh. First of all, I would like to thank Dr. Sheikh Haytham Al-Haddad for traveling all the way to Norway to deliver these, subhanAllah, these beautiful lectures, intellectual lectures, academic lectures, and help us in the West understand more about the religion of Islam and how Islam provides solution for the problems of this world. So, Jazakumullah khairan, Sheikh. I really, really, we really, really do appreciate it. Everyone was here today. And the second person I would like to
anyway, this is an obligation upon me, yeah, whether to Muslims or to non-Muslims. If I know something, I have to share it with others. I believe that Islam is the light of Allah. I feel that it is my responsibility to share this light with others. So I'm not doing you any favor. You are doing me a favor, but by allowing me to share those points with you. Jazakumullah khair.
Barakallahu feekum. The next person I specifically want to thank is the vice principal of Oslo University College, who is here present today. If you would like, we would be honored if you could come down, if you prefer. Otherwise, we really, really do appreciate that you have been here today and listened with your own ears what Dr. Haytham has been saying, rather than just judge before you have heard anything only from what you listened in the media.
Oh, by the way, I didn't know that he is here. Otherwise, maybe I would have said some maybe radical views. I never thought that he is here. But this, I spoke up my mind. So this is all what I always say in any lectures. Whether there is the vice chancellor, or whether there is police, or whether there is MI5 or MI10 or whatever. Yeah, this I speak up my mind. Yeah. Anyway, thank you for... Who is the... I don't know. Oh, yeah. Okay, anyway, I really am grateful for allowing me this opportunity to speak in this honorable institution. Thank you very much.
So I continue to thank the vice principal. Maybe I completely understand that people have different views about different things, but just that they let Dr. Haytham express his views rather than boycotting him or banning him or banning our student organization from having seminars here. We are really, really happy and do appreciate that you give us the opportunity to have intellectual debates or Q&A sessions or lectures so that we can come and know each other better. So thank you very much. And I think everyone here should say thank you very much.
Yes, thank you very much.
Secondly, I thank all of you, my dear brothers and sisters who are here present today, for the sake of Allah, to learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's religion. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to take this knowledge into our hearts and practice this knowledge in our daily lives. Ameen. And inshallah, make us steadfast on the religion of Islam. Ameen.